Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to today's broadcast. Hope you are having a fantastic day wherever you are and whatever you may be doing. It is Memorial Day 2015, and I want to start off with this simple thought. It is the soldier, not the reporter, who has given us freedom of the press. It is the soldier, not the poet, who's given us freedom of speech. It is the soldier, not the campus organizer, who has given us the freedom to demonstrate. It is the soldier who salutes the flag, who serves beneath the flag, and whose coffin is draped by the flag, who allows the protesters to burn that flag. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to take this opportunity to thank every single soldier, sailor, airman, marine, anyone else, even down to individual contractors who serve in forward areas so that we, the people here back in the States, can enjoy the freedoms that our republic has guaranteed us, the rights that our Creator has given to us that we must jealously guard and protect if we're to keep them. It is Memorial Day. Memorial Day that is perhaps the greatest single holiday that we have, because it is our opportunity to remember what the price of freedom truly is. Every day you hear somebody, you see somebody post online something along the lines that freedom isn't free. Well, it's not. In order to find out what that cost is, all you have to do is go to a local cemetery or a national monument in remembrance of those who have given the ultimate sacrifice. Ladies and gentlemen, I am broadcasting to you live today from the wilderness in the Smokies, coming to you live from Sevier County, home of such wonderful places as Sevierville, Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge. Smokies baseball is played here. Dollywood can be found here. Just I'm bringing you this broadcast because it is Memorial Day. Because we need to remember it's not about sales events. It's not about getting furniture or linen or that great new deal on a car. It's not about picnics and cookouts and time with your family. And don't get me wrong, the reason I'm broadcasting from here is because that's what I'm doing. We didn't do the Sunday show this past week because I was here spending much needed time with my family, enjoying those very freedoms that our great service members have fought to protect for us. I don't think there's anything wrong with honoring those who have fallen by doing exactly that, spending time with our friends, our family, our loved ones. Not everyone has the day off today, and for those who've had to work, for those of you that are in service areas, public service areas in particular, that you can't take a day off, whether you're a policeman, a fireman, or you're working at the hospital, whatever it is you may be doing that required you to be there, even if you're just working in a convenience store so that others can get the gas they need to get back home after traveling, well, thank you too, because be a lot tougher to enjoy this holiday without you. But keep in mind, this is a holiday in the truest sense of the word, in that it should be holy. It should be a time of remembrance. If you haven't already, please, if you see a veteran who has served and made it back, thank them for their service. And don't just, thank you for your service, but mean it. It's the only reason I'm broadcasting today. I'm still not back home. I'm still enjoying my time away. one of the great things about being able to broadcast like this is, thanks to modern technology, we can do it from just about anywhere. If we've got a phone and internet access, then bam, there you go. Thank you. That's the message for today. That's what we should keep in our heart all day long. If you're grilling out at home, preparing those hamburgers and hot dogs for your kid, remember, before you hand it over, thank you for all who have sacrificed that I can enjoy this day, that I can enjoy this freedom. Ordinarily, I like to talk about these days before the day of, because I, like everyone else, like to actually take the time off. But this is one that has to be addressed on the day of, because it's a very backbone, it's a meeting. It's far too important. But not just that, but because we are at a crossroads. This country is been creeping further and further down this path that leads us away from, well, quite honestly, away from everything that our fallen heroes fought for. This, in my memory, is perhaps one of the saddest Memorial Days, maybe even ever, certainly within my lifetime. It's sad because we just saw ISIS take Ramadi. We're getting speeches from both the president and the vice president about how they need to be prepared, they being our military, to deal with the biggest threat to national security: climate change. Never mind the fact that we are in, what is it, a 12-year holding pattern in actual climate change, that we actually have cooled off, according to the last numbers, over the spike that first sent them into a panic about global warming, that we actually lost in 1 year's time that same amount of increase. It took nearly a decade that got them in a panic, and that, of course, all the science is settled. It doesn't matter that it appears to be wrong. Doesn't matter that settled science gave us the Big Bang Theory, which now scientists are moving away from. In fact, some people have even went so far as to say that it's been proven wrong. I haven't done enough research to say that that's necessarily the case, so I'm going to leave it to them and just let you know that the opinions vary, and true scientists never believe that science is settled. Science had settled at one point in time the world was flat. Science had settled at one point in time that the sun went around the earth. Science had settled in many, many locations and then later discovered, hey, you know what? Sorry, we were wrong. Science is not settled. If you know a veteran who made it back, thank them meaningfully. Not even necessarily with words, but with actions. Include someone in your holiday activities if you're doing something special. We're at a crossroads, America, and the only way that we can make the right choice in direction is when, by getting back to being Americans, appreciating the things that we have, working and earning those things, working hard for them. That's the American way. That's how you grow pride within yourself. I mentioned the battle for Ramadi and how that's part of what makes this so sad as far as Memorial Days go. The Joint Chiefs Chairman, Army General Martin Dempsey, basically summed up the recent victory by ISIS for the city of Ramadi by saying, quote, "The Iranian security force was not driven out of Ramadi. They drove out of Ramadi." And technically, Dempsey was right. The Iraqi army abandoned its last remaining position in Ramadi on Sunday after a chaotic battle that involved a dust storm, dozens of ISIS car bomb attacks, and a breakdown in communications between the beleaguered Iraqi troops on the ground and the American advisors who can, quote, provide them with air support. At least that's according to U.S. officials. Officials this week are offering new details of the four-day battle. In the end, that four-day battle saw the Islamic State, ISIS, some still wanting to call them ISIL, this four-day battle that ended with ISIS raising the black flag over the capital building of the Anbar province and declaring what's unquestionably its most significant victory in nearly a year. It began with a dust storm, which enabled militants to launch a wave of suicide bomb attacks at a moment when the city streets were shrouded in orange haze. Iraqi troops had limited visibility and feared their American allies' capability to provide air cover might be compromised. The initial attack targeted Ramadi's government center, where the Iraqi army maintained a heavily fortified headquarters. There was an armored bulldozer which knocked over the T-wall perimeters, which then was the first explosion. Then they had an armored dump truck, an armored Humvee. This according to one senior State Department official and what they said in describing the initial attack. This was the first in a series of about 30 car bombs, about 10 of which packed the explosive capacity of the Oklahoma City type attack. That also a direct quote from the State Department official. They took out entire city blocks. Morale among the beleaguered Iraqi army forces already was low. Those units had been deployed to Ramadi for a year with no leave, no pay over the past 6 months, and no proper resupplies, according to a report from NBC News. That report, of course, cited U.S. officials. The Iraqis also had limited ability to reach back and communicate with their higher headquarters. That confusion led to the ground forces mistaking belief that because of the dust storm, they would not be able to receive any power support. That, of course, according to Army Colonel Steve Warren, who's a spokesman for the Pentagon. "The weather did not impact our ability to conduct airstrikes, but we were coming to the understanding that the commander on the ground believed otherwise." A quote from Warren. Theoretically, the Iraqi ground troops should be in constant radio contact with their rear echelon and Iraqi's combined Joint Operations Center, where American officers were standing by to receive requests for air support and respond immediately. But that's not how it worked during this battle. It's unclear at this point what the communication links were at the time. On Sunday, the Iraqi army tried to send a reinforcing column to Ramadi's city center, but those troops immediately came under fire. according to Colonel Warren, this appears to be a unilateral decision made by the commanders on the ground. An Iraqi commander on the ground in Ramadi, based on his assessment of the situation, that it was time to withdraw. In an interview with the Wall Street Journal, Dempsey suggested that the Iraqi decision to leave was deliberate and did not reflect a defeat in direct combat. An interesting point of view. That interview was where Dempsey observed that the Iraqi troops were not driven out of Ramadi, but that they drove out of Ramadi. It leads to the question, why is this our role? What should be our role in fighting ISIS? ISIS has listed us as an enemy. Because no matter what this current administration's issue is with Assad, we still have to consider ISIS a far greater threat, don't we? Shouldn't we? Americans fought hard during the invasion of Iraq to remove Saddam Hussein, to hold, then to retake Ramadi. That's part of why this is such a sad development going into Memorial Day. There were a lot of newly made widows in the attempt to retake Ramadi. And now we've set back and it's just went into the hands of an organization that is easily, arguably, far worse than the Saddam Hussein dictatorship ever was. We have to face that reality, but instead the reality that our commander-in-chief, our chief executive, and everyone that works for him, the reality he wants us to believe is that we face a far more serious threat from climate change. And you know what? That might very well be. But until they step up and recognize that real science tells us that climate change is far more sickly, is far more of a of our climate. There's lots of other factors to look at. Man's presence on the planet has had very little to do with any real climate change. So until you wrap your mind around what real climate change is and what actually causes it, there's really nothing you can do. So there's the first step. Mr. Occupier, please recognize the fact that our greatest threat to national security right now, other than your policies, of course, is ISIS. This is a sad Memorial Day because we have ISIS camp just a few miles south of the Texas border. This is a sad Memorial Day because once again we're faced with the scandal of not being able to fix the VA since the VA scandal. We have made promises to those who go fight, who sweat and bleed and sometimes die in the service of this nation by putting on this uniform. We make promises to these people. And what happens? Do we keep those promises? No. Instead of trying to make things better for our men and women in uniform and the civilian contractors that assist them, no, what we do is we go in front of the American people and we whine that we haven't gotten a raise. And by we, we're talking about Congress right now. The priorities are askew. I'm going to beg each and every one of you, please contact your representative and harass them. You know, within reason. I don't want you getting in any legal trouble. But let's aggravate them to a point that's not yet illegal, but within the role of what their job's supposed to consist of, okay? Which is servicing you, their constituents. Let's push for a law. I would even like to see a constitutional amendment on this if we could get to that point, but we may have to do the convention of the states thing and see if we can't add that on with some of the other efforts. I want to see Congress and the president and everyone else that gets a government check for their rate of pay, their salary, to be merit-based. Because if everybody in D.C. was paid based on merit, there's a lot of folks right there, right now, that would be in line for pay reductions as opposed to pay increases. How dare any of them come before the American people and try to make the case that they need a raise when so many more people than ever before are off of the unemployment rolls because they've come. Now, I wasn't planning on spending a great deal of time on air today because, well, the family still has expectations of my time. Session. For our fallen heroes. And remember their families. And before I sign off, I want to say right now, for myself, if you are a veteran and you're listening to this right now, thank you. I can't express to you enough how much I appreciate the sacrifices you made on my behalf and on behalf of my family. Thank you. And for the family of those fallen heroes, those people that made those sacrifices and didn't come back, and for the families of those who are currently serving active duty in a forward location, where you face that lonely time without your loved one who is off serving, thank you for your sacrifices too. I can't promise you what the folks on the left will say or do or think or how the media will respond, but I can promise you this, that as long as I draw breath, your sacrifices do not go unappreciated. They do not go unknown. And I promise you too that there are hundreds of thousands of other Americans in this country that feel exactly the same way I do about it, who may not have a podium from which to say it. So let me say it for them too. If you know a veteran that you think needs to hear that message, please share this with them. Please let them know, even if it's just these last few minutes of the show, that you play for them. Because it's not about how many air plays. It's about making sure as many veterans as possible hear the fact that I personally want to thank them. I'm going to go ahead and end things at this point. I've been rambling for close to 30 minutes now. Ordinarily, we sign out with the song titled It's Not Goodbye, but today, I think since we are looking for a miracle, I'm going to sign out playing Miracle. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope everyone enjoys the remainder of the Memorial Day weekend, that you have a fantastic Memorial Day itself. Thank a veteran. Remember the fallen heroes. Enjoy those freedoms that they paid the ultimate price to secure for you. I'm not telling you don't have your barbecues. I'm not even telling you don't go get some great new furniture if that's what moves you. What I am telling you is don't do it without thinking first why you're doing it. That's it for today. We'll be back again soon. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. Remember, don't take my word for it. Definitely don't take their word for it. Use your brain. And always be prepared to put a little bit of effort in if you really want to tap into the truth. Goodbye, everybody.
Looking for a miracle.